Lord, because tonight we ask that you take these lips of clay and turn it into the pen of the ready writer. And Lord, teach us tonight. Speak to us in ways we will understand. Break this into our spirit that we'll become better, better, better people filled with God's spirit. Glory to your name, Father. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Briefly this evening, we'll be looking at God's word. And I'm talking about purpose beyond the pulpit. Finding purpose beyond the pulpit. Hallelujah. Purpose beyond the pulpit. Amen. We have lots of examples of people in the Bible who found their purpose beyond the pulpit. Pulpit here could signify, it could mean anything. Because sometimes we think until you are called Pastor Divine or Apostle Divine, then you're not doing God's work, even if you're just a teacher. Hallelujah. I remember one of the days I met a pupil who happens to be a student in Sister Grace's school. And even though she's a Muslim, I was quite shocked the answer she gave in the conversation that, you know, ensued between herself and myself. And then the mother was almost scolding her. What's that word? That the mother was trying to scold her that she's too inquisitive. I said, no, leave her. That means she's learning a whole lot in class, in school. Amen. Now, to Sister Grace, she may not know, she's impacting light into the life of a Muslim child, even in school, while doing her normal school chores. Hallelujah. So, what we're talking about, purpose beyond the pulpit, while she's just carrying out academic activities and teaching the children, what she doesn't know is that she's fulfilling God's purpose in school. Amen. So, it may not be a church where you say pastor, but she's pastoring lives in school setting. She's teaching and modeling their lives in the light of God. Hallelujah. That's why I don't take lightly even those devotions they used to do in school. When you see them clap and they recite some, this and read hymns. We used to do it when we were in school. Primary school, I still remember, if I forget any hymn at all, there are some I can never forget. Hymn 606. there are some numbers I cannot forget. Stand up for Jesus. We used to recite them in school. Primary and secondary school. All things bright and beautiful is one of the songs we sing from our hymn book. I remember that hymn book used to be blue, with blue back or so. Very, very, there are lots of hymns there. And until recently in church, when I see something, I just remember, I say, oh, I remember this hymn very well. You know, and those are also things that are impactful. Hallelujah. Before going to the scripture, I want to talk about, I just want to bring our minds to David. Even though a prophecy has been made, even though anointing has been made over his life, he was still at the back of the bush. He was still at the backyard in the bush, taking care of the sheep, taking care of the lambs. Hallelujah. He didn't just go about bragging that, don't you know I've been anointed and blah, blah, blah. So it's not about the pulpit, it's not about the calling. It's a matter of, are you doing what you're supposed to do even when it's not been pronounced that there's such and such thing as God's grace over your life? Hallelujah. I remember when my mom heard, saw, and found out that I'd graduated from Bible school, ordained, and all that. She was like, she was just laughing, and I was like, she said, it's just like somebody that's been waiting for you at a point, at a place. She said, I knew, maybe I told you where you were young before, because she said them. She gave me about three, at least a minimum of three instances. how she was pregnant. She was walking past, and this man, she met this man who just told her on the road that the baby in your womb. And then she was planning to abort this baby. That the baby in your womb has a destiny with God's call upon his life. And then she just waved it. You know the way some people, I beg this one, this ceremony, the baby I would not drink. They all waved it. And then she said, she took a few steps. I wanted to look at the man and say, yes, that your man self. As she turned, she didn't see the man. And it was a lonely road. Only she and the man were on that road. She gave other instances again like that. And then, little wonder why, even when she satisfied herself and said she had aborted this child, the child was still there. Amen. Purpose beyond the pulpit. Let's see the book of Jeremiah chapter 29. Popular scripture. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Where God was saying that, for I know the thoughts. For I know the thoughts. Give me that. Jeremiah 29, 11 is here. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster. Amen? To give you a future and a hope. Hallelujah. Give me, I think, is it Jeremiah 1:5? This is not on my list, but I remember that just struck me now in my spirit. Look at it, Jeremiah 1:5. Look at what he says. He said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Hallelujah. How many of you know that God knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb? So some people think in their mind that, oh, if my mother had not met my father, they wouldn't have given birth to me. No, God knew that you were going to come. However means, I say that my mom and my dad are only blessed and opportune to have been the one to give birth to me because I for still come. Anyhow. Hallelujah. And now, I'm believing what the scripture says. He said, before I formed you, what? In the womb. So whether there was a womb or not, I was known already. Uwakaba. Akane. Abista Grace. Eh? So, whether or not this was the scripture that somebody saw, it was Bishop Oyedepo, and he shouted and he said, if I knew what I know now, because sometimes some things have passed, and like you are complaining and say, as if you don't know God. But when you get to certain depth in God, you begin to like, how come? You know, have you read some scriptures? It has happened to my wife several times. Sometimes you read something and you're like, oh, the light of that scripture just comes in a different, light. You're like, I've been reading this scripture since. I've never understood it in this light. And then it just hits you and you're like, wow. I must tell her that she wants to share. She wants us to talk about it. Amen. Hallelujah. Meaning that whether or not there is queen, that's my mother's name, whether or not queen come or not, I for still come. Maybe in Canada or somewhere, but I for still come. Hallelujah! That's how precious you are. Yes, so you may not have been in Nigeria anyway. I for still come. Like the child when they say they cry for hospital. The child was disappointed. It's a joke. They say the child was disappointed that now here they say no, don't want to come. They say, you don't come, you don't come. So give me that scripture again, please. Display it. Say, before I formed you in the womb. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. So there was a work, there was a call on your life already. Several times we just play around and don't want to. I was one of those. I kept running until there was nowhere to run. I just love to get myself engrossed in so many things. went to technical school, was in electrical engineering department for a year and a half, and then something happened. I switched immediately to business department. It's a 3-year course. So I did 1.5 year electrical engineering and the other half business department. And guess what? When I was in electrical department, we were three that were always the best in class. Myself, Napoleon, and Portia. Three of us. Two guys and a girl. First, second, third, it does not go out of three of us. When I come first, Napoleon second, Portia third. If Napoleon comes first, I'm second, Portia is third. It's just like that. It just rotates amongst us. So something happened. I wanted to do practical one day, and I didn't have money for practical. I was angry. I went to see my popsy, and he was telling me to go. You know, those days, our fathers are so wise. When they tell your papa no want to give you money, in the presence of your stepmother, and they will tell you something, say, go and meet your mom. And I was angry. I hardly asked him for anything. So now that I come, you must give me something. He said, go and meet your mom. Little did I know, he was wisely trying to tell me that I'll sorted your thing. Just go home and your mom will sort you. Me and all 1 year, give me. So there and there, because he refused to give me, I said, okay. I'm going back to school and I'll stop this program. And he said, you don't dare. And I went to tell the head of school. I said, I don't want to do this program again. I'm leaving. My father already called his school. So they say, no way. That blah, blah, blah. And I say, when I go tell my mother, Naim, carry me quite a road for this call, and I come by myself. I said, I'm not doing it again. So engineering course, in our engineering class, we used to do a lot of practicals, and it takes a lot of money, you know, buying materials and all that. So, okay. You know, for me, I was like, I was doing the school a favor. So, okay, so that it doesn't look like, because I hate to drop out, so that it doesn't look like I didn't finish this program. So, okay. I'll just switch to business department where they don't do so many things, you know, not too much practical. Just be like department where they play. I said, okay, let me just go there and be playing. Because we have fabrication, different department, mechanical and all that. I went around, look, even up to furnitures and everything. I said, no. All this one, too many practicals. Let me just go to where I can just... Even if I'm not going to school, they won't even know. But then I got into business department and it was a different thing entirely. It was while I was in business department that I started fellowship in the school. I started CASO, Christ Ambassador Students Outreach. Then I had several encounters. I bought drama troupe, did so many things, and it was just different. I'm like, I was now asking myself, could this have been the reason God sent me here? Amen. Because sometimes... you're running from something. God has a plan. And then I was in the business department until it was time for practicals, ASDF. Hey, I say, So we started typing. I say, hey, now this one I can't do. But I sure did it. I started learning. I was supposed to hate shorthand. Because it's something, unlike people who have, don't forget, see, these people have started since year one. They've done 1.5 year. I joined them in the middle of second year, so I have just 1.5 year to go. I just started, and my first term with business class, I think I had something like, fifth. It was the poorest result I had gotten in the class, in the school. But for me, I was still happy because it's a new terrain for me. And then the next exam, when we would write, I was second. I said, okay, this sounds interesting. This is getting better. And then first... and nobody ever took it again from me. And then we wrote our final exam. When we would write our final exam, I did 2 enrollments because I wanted to be double sure. Did 2 enrollments and I wrote both concurrently. And it was a blast. It was a blast. I'm still proud of that result tomorrow. It was a blast. I'd never done commerce before. It was in that business school that I started doing commerce. And my commerce, I had the best result in commerce. Commerce was my best. So I'm saying this to say, sometimes we try to run. We think we are dodging from God. We want to navigate our way through different waters just so we think we are dodging and all that. He knows. From the standpoint, have you seen, it happened several times in a home. As a father or as an elderly person, you see a child do some things, do some corner moves. And you, where you are, you're just smiling. I know, especially if you deal with teens or children a lot, you will just be watching them from a distance. You know where they are going. You know the beginning and the end of that move, but they don't know. They think they are smart. And then when you catch them, you're like, yes. God is just there, knowing everything, the all-knowing and all-seeing God. He knows the path. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember what he said in Ephesians chapter 2. Give me Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Do not forget, we are very precious to him. He says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Give me that to the King NKJV. There's something I'm looking for. NKJV, yes. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. For good works, which God prepared. That's what's called predestinated. Which God prepared beforehand that we should what? Walk in them. So he's been prepared long ago. He knew. Now we just come. He knew that we should what? Walk in them. What? What has been prepared? What has been predestined for us? We must learn to walk on the path that he has prepared, predestined for us. That's the only way we can be showcased as his workmanship, as his masterpiece. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's see 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 17 to 19 in the message, please. 1 Corinthians 7, 17 to 19. 1 Corinthians 7, 17 to 19 in the message. Oh, we are very precious in his sight. And we are crafted, designed, made by him specially. So on our body, we may not be seeing it, but on our spirit, on our makeup, it's written, made in heaven. Just like there is made in China, made in Nigeria, it's made in heaven. He made us as his masterpiece, crafted. Hallelujah. Okay, in the message. Can we get a message? Yes. He says, sometimes I wish everyone was 17, verse 17. Yes. He said, and don't be wishing you were someplace else or with someone else. Are you sure? 1 Corinthians what? 1 Corinthians 7, verse 17. No, no. Check 2 Corinthians. I hope I didn't miss it. Miss it up. Check 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians 7, 17. Whoa. Must have missed that. He said, but as God has distributed to each one, that's what I was looking for. Please, kindly check. But as God has distributed to each one, hallelujah. That's where it started from. But as God has distributed to each one, I think he's talking about a measure of gifts or something. Must have written that wrongly. I checked this, or maybe when I was writing the number down, I missed it. Please kindly check for me. Then in the meantime, while you're looking for that, I'll talk about Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 also, where it says, let your light so shine before men. Hallelujah. Have you seen it? First Corinthians, I was correct. Oh, it's the version. Don't mind the message. Okay, leave this one for me. But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so I ordain in all the churches. Hallelujah. As God has distributed to each one. So, as God has designed, okay, now, God has designed Sister Grace's life, in such a way that she will be impacting the lives of children in school. She's molding the future of a great generation in their young age. I can't do that. If you carry Pekin now, as much as I love babies, if you tell me, Sister Jerry, say, let me bring my baby so that you... She, no. She likes babies, but not for, say, come spend time with me. She don't get that time. Give her adults, yes. But babies, See, everybody, we all have our strengths and what God, the way God has fashioned us. And that's why I love where David said, the Lord has made me and fashioned me the way I am. Hallelujah. The way you love children, you play with children, if you stand with a child, you know when a child is telling you lies. You say, big auntie, this and that, you will know. Abby? Not everybody. Other people will be there. They will be wondering. They will be looking at you. But you can tell the truth. Yes, because you are wired in such a way that this is your turf. This is your ground. So you cannot. Yes. Then come to court. When you come to court, when you see Sister Remy display, you say, Then let's go to a hospital. And then you see a medical doctor display. You will wonder. Yes. Have you thought about why the lawyer cannot do the work of a doctor and why the doctor cannot do that of a teacher? We are all wired differently. But as God has distributed to each one, hallelujah. I may not be able to play the keyboard, but give me the microphone. I will sing and glorify God with my voice. Hallelujah. As each one has been wired, as each one has been distributed to, as gift has been given to each one, stay your lane. One brother was yabbing the people in prayer group when I was young. We were in church. He said, what are they even doing? He said, what do they think they are praying? Is it not prayer? So he went to join them. He wants to pray. We used to have deliverance service. So he went for prayer. So there's the day that the prayer band used to meet in church. And some people who want prayer come to prayer band for prayer. So he went there. Not to be prayed for. He wants to teach prayer band their work. Because he's been telling, what are they even praying? And he went. So they say where they were praying. He went there and said, "The Shushans, he wants to pray for this sister. Sister has been rolling on the floor. They were praying for her. So he just walked there and thought it's a joke. Those people think that what we do can be treated with levity. You think it's God's work. Is it not God's work? I just carry the offering basket. I just move it. And is it not just to carry an offering basket? It's reverence. It's worship to God. Is it not just to stay on the technical and press laptop? The people doing it there. They walk with God's spirit on their lives. Hallelujah. Because if you do it with the physical consciousness, or you think because you have the intellect, you will walk and walk and not find the scriptures the way we were looking for it just now. And I was on the same scripture and we didn't know. You don't know how much they prepare and pray before they start working. So don't just say because you see somebody playing the keyboard, see somebody playing the drums, somebody's carrying the offering basket. There's work. There's also spiritual work involved also. You think pastor just come here and pastor just come and preach from all the multiple things that he has in his head? No, it's not that. There's the work of the spirit Amen. And reverence to God is worship, is service to God. And that's why I don't take lightly anything, even though he's carrying the basket, anything, carrying the communion. It's reverence, it's service to God. So it must be done with absolute honor to God. It's God's work. Hallelujah. The guy got there. And the sister that has been down, that they were praying for, all of a sudden got up. And the guy received serious ghost gas. Some people think you can just come with your filthiness and just come and show, do showmanship. The work of God is not for showmanship. The work of God is done with reverence, with honor to God. Hallelujah. Yeah, so back to Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. He says, let your light so shine before men. Let your light so shine before men. What light are we talking about here? The life that God has cut for you. The light, the path that he has prepared, predestined for you. Walk in it. Walk in it. 5 verse 16. 16. 16. 5 verse 16. Yes. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And what? Glorify your Father in heaven. It's God that takes the glory at the end of the day. Whatever we do when lives are blessed, lives are touched, we say, whoa, glory to God. It's God that takes the honor. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll try to bring this to a close and maybe continue some other time. Colossians. Let's see Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. We'll just read two scriptures more and we'll bring it to a wrap. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. He said, and whatever you do, do it what? Heartily. Do it from your heart, from the depth of your heart, as to the Lord and not to men. Hallelujah. So even in that teaching, as Sister Grace is teaching in school, say, children, you know, and play. She's doing it heartily, like unto the Lord. Amen. She's the boss of the school. But like unto the Lord, meaning that you will see things that would annoy you. But you think, say, but for God. That's why sometimes some people, when they're angry, say, if not be God, yes. Unto the Lord, as unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Because if you were to do it as unto men, if you want to scatter me, scatter. You don't get with any man could do. But when you remember that, this is unto the Lord. What's that word? It humbles you. It will, I'm looking for a word, curtail you, to make you calm down. Yorubas will say, farabale. It will make you calm down. Because when you remember, you say, you will calm down. Why? God is involved. Hallelujah. All right, let's see. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. Libraco somande, hide gevosa. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. He said, as each one has what? Received a gift. Minister it to one another as good stewards of the Lord, of the manifold grace of God. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Sometimes when people come to church, let's tell ourselves a little bit of truth. It is even people who are mature believers, ministers, workers of the church, that will disobey the ushers. Usher wants to say, this is what instruction has been given, that we should say, Why? Because you know his brother daddy. And he never will feel rule himself. Now, I can't tell a person what to do. So even if he never, not even they try, you now will not disobey. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. I will not tell Sister Grace. What did they sing when I never sing before for choir? I've been singing since I was 7 years old. Yeah, I used to sing. From when I was young in teens church, I was taking solo and jumping up and down like Michael Jackson in church. So what is it you are singing now that I have not? That is abuse. That's wrong. as each one has received the gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I don't need to look at you to do what I'm doing. I should minister my gifts that I've been given and let it bless everyone liberally without favor or fear. So it's also wrong. What he's telling me also is that it's also wrong for somebody to stand and say, you want to minister, hey, Pastor, there, today, Pastor, not there, for doing better as Pastor here now. You know, there are people like that. Ah, you've not seen. Sometimes I ask Kewe, why did you sing like that? Why did you sing and demonstrate? She will give me a reason. Say she wish. You know, if there were nobody here and they were Riazi, you will see the Riaz lively. Kewe, Desola, and Wairi. You will see the Riaz. Oh, you will say, ah, tomorrow they will minister very well. And then when they not stand, then they not come here. The same people will be jumping right up and down. They won't move from one place. You will be wondering, ah, what's happening? So this is addressing that. Said, the gift you have received, minister that gift, according to the manifold grace of God. As dear steward, hallelujah. Can we just take one more, please? Romans 12, as we get ready to close. Romans 12, verse 6, please. Romans 12, verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, the grace that Marvel carries is different from my grace. Amen? All this one that she's doing, I'm pressing laptop, I'm doing admin. And if you give me, I will run. I cannot do it. The grace she carries, and I don't envy you. I have my own. I can just give me a microphone or give me any, let me stay on the drum or let me coordinate or do feed work. We are different. Hallelujah. Sister Remy, can you play keyboard? Brother Toby, can you defend a case in court? Try Anna. So, you know, get a Sister Remy fig whisper. Give Brother Toby say, and when you get to court, do like this. It will show. You understand? Even with expo, it will show. So let every man just do their own. And it's easy when you are doing your own. I told somebody one day, they said, they were talking about something. You know these things that people will now put in effort to produce a fake thing. So I said, the effort that they use to produce fake thing, why you not just hook and take and do original, make sure that you go sell where? Why you go do fake thing? That's how I was new. When I was new in Lagos, I went to buy phone in Oshodi. I was going to Ikotu. I was working in Bagada in the bank. I reached home. Now, fufu, don't put for inside this for me. I said, see these people, they are just foolish. Yes, you take my money, but the effort what it takes, they said, you for not sell better phone if you didn't sell better phone. Yes, because you are just wasting your marketing skill. Now, if you see anybody look like me, they come another day, you could run. Because this man look like the man when you say, fufu. They don't do me two times. One was jewelry, the other one was phone. So, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Let us what? Use them. No, magu, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy. In proportion to our faith. So, this is also talking of the core gifts. So, you know that there are people who are gifted with abilities to do different things in church, even in the fold of the faith. But they are scared to let it out. I've seen people when it's time to pray, they don't want to pray out. Even when you say pray, they are filled with the Spirit of God, they can speak in tongues, but let me not hear my tongue. My tongue be like Ukwale. My tongue be like Kalaba. No, let me keep my Speak am. Even if it's mama, speak am. Nobody's going to scold you. Hallelujah. If you have gifts of prophecy, prophesy. And you see these gifts, it's as you use them that is being, you know, it it will sharpen up. And then it becomes better. But if you just tell them, my wife used to share, we gist a lot and gist about family things. And he said, one of her sisters, when they were small, all of them for their families, they sing. They have voices, they sing. The altos, the tenors, sopranos, and all that. So there's this one of them that, when she's very gifted, she knows how to sing. When she sings, till now, she's married, she's singing, she's the head of the choir. When she's singing, and then the father just hears her singing. You know that kind of, when Pekin, they sing, you never see them. You never know, say, person, they say, but they sing your heart out, and she'll be singing and singing. What's the father just say? Yes, sing it. She'll just shut up. She won't sing again. So, in her mind, she will just stop to sing. The father will say, no, let it out, you're singing it well. Lie, come and beat me. No, she will not sing again. He say, let it out. In prophecy, prophesy. Do you know that if you have the gift of faith or working of miracles, the Bible talked about 9 gifts. All of these diverse gifts, if you have any of them, but I'm giving an example, if you have the gift of faith or working of miracles, almost in the same line. Until you put it to use, you can never grow in it. Sometimes you heal somebody from a particular sickness and then it grows. Your ability to do that gives you that courage to see a dead person and you want to pray for the person. Otherwise, if you are waiting, some people, they say they wait for big miracle, don't want to do small miracle. You will never be able to do big one. Because now that one where you never take heal headache where they do you, now you want to go. So one guy was praying every time, say, Lord, give me the nation. Lord, give me the neighbor, they perish. He never feel preach for a neighbor. Talk to a neighbor and say, no, this one will slap my eye. So you never talk to a neighbor. You want to, the one when you know you here, you never feel talk to them, won't go nation. Hallelujah. So we must learn to come out, especially in evangelism, which is one of the things that has been given freely to every one of us as a work, as a commission to do. Evangelism is not for pastors. Evangelism is not for... It's for everybody in the household of faith. Just grab somebody and tell the person how much God loves them and bring them to church. Even if you're not bringing them to church, just follow them up and see that they become a better version of themselves. How many times have we even strolled through our Bibles and just sent someone a scripture and just say, this blessed me and I just want to share with you. If you do that, you are doing actually the work Jesus left for us. Say, continue ye in this, reaching out to people. When they call me Bishop World, it's not even because of church. It's in the business place. Why? Because I want to pull people out of their pit of where they wallow in all of their grief and losses and pains and poverty. I want to see them become a better version of themselves. And we can do that also in our different fields, wherever we are. When we help people solve problems in our offices or do anything, we are helping them become better. And that's how, when I was in the bank, when a colleague of mine said, God don't bless you, $500,000. I said, no, shut up. I said, that's not my money. It's an overage from somebody. He said, God don't bless you. You know that kind of thing. Somebody forget her money on my table. $500,000. And the guy was saying, Baba, God don't bless you. I said, no, shut up. That's not my money. And I declared over. He said, you go do this kind of thing. God don't butter your bread. I said, no. 3 months later, the woman came. Just imagine if I had taken that money. Hallelujah. So, in whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. Do it like, even though you're working in a bank or you're working in the marketplace, you're doing your business, your own thing, whatever work it is, techie, whatever, do it as if God is your boss. How would you react if God is your boss and you're working? With that consciousness of God in the atmosphere, in that, the aura will be different. Let's walk like that. Let's walk like that. Like God pays us. And of course, he does. Hallelujah. Because if you look at, sometimes I literally try to look at what I spend in a month. And I see that I spend even beyond what I earn. How do I make up for the difference? It's God. He pays. Hallelujah. Because if you put money aside and say, this one is for hospital, this one is for police problem, this one is for this. I don't have all those hospital and police problem. So God also has taken care of some things that I would have literally spent money on. You know, some people, when their salary is going to come, they are calculating. This one is for malaria. This one is for typhoid. This one is for emergency or contingencies and all that. I don't have all that. Why? Because it takes care of my bills. Amen. It takes care of my bills. And that way, aside my tithe, I'm able to use the rest of the money very, very well. Amen. Can we just bow our heads and pray tonight? Just thank him. Thank you. Father, I'll walk in the call that you have called me. Yes, Father, in teaching, I'll walk in that call that you have called me. The works of my hand is blessed. Declare it. The works of my hands, they are blessed. Holy prana mande vrenado zonde ida gadeisha. Whatever my hand finds to do, holy palabade zegevegedosa. I walk in this path of your blessings for me. I walk in this path of your anointing upon my life. I do this work that I do diligently as unto the Lord. Holy pa, la mandeze vedosa, endevreno kupa ndebrenenosha, mande ananana, kabaira dos, lebegedosa, la pate yenamosha. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. I'll find my purpose. Beyond the pulpit. I will not only be known to be good in church. I will be known in my workplace. I'll be known in my place of work. I'll be known on the street as good. As good, as a representative of Christ, as an ambassador of Christ. Thank you, mighty God. We give you praise. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.